Hello everyone, it's Tom talking to you from my kitchen in deepest, darkest Bermondsey in the middle of this frustrating lockdown period. And before I get on to anything to do with music and the orchestra, of course, the most important thing is that I hope you're all well and your families and friends too. I'm pleased to report that I and my family are and feel very lucky about that. So we should be rehearsing together at the moment for a concert, but of course that's proved to be impossible. Doubly frustrating because I felt like we'd only just started to get to know each other when we did my first concert with you as your music director back in the depths of November last year. Anyway, we can't. Michael, Lee and I and the committee have been talking about all sorts of things, but one idea was just to do a little reaching out whilst we're not together, and by way of my making some what I hope will be interesting, at least little audio files to do with the business of conducting, basically, or as I kind of prefer to talk about it, musical direction. I'll come on to that at some point. So Michael asked me if I'd make these, and the way that I've framed it is by a series of questions. I really don't want it to be just talking about me. It's really that wouldn't be interesting in the slightest. But just so for a starting point, really, the first question I'm going to answer is why conducting, and how did I get to the point that I am at in my career to date? So the first thing I would say is I have absolutely no idea how I ended up being a conductor. It's all been completely by accident, really. When I was a kid, I really wasn't thinking about it at all set up for this job. I'm pretty shy for a start, and also not from that traditional musical background. You know, you read conductors' biographies and soloist biographies and musicians' biographies generally, and they'll say, you know, so and so came from a musical family where dad played the violin and mom played the piano or whatever. Just not the case in my family. Not music haters, but just not people who'd been interested in it at all. Certainly not classical music. So my way in was by a sequence of strange accidental events, I suppose. And the first of these was that my parents did have a record collection. They weren't total heathens, but they had a very eclectic one, and there were three, if I remember rightly, classical vinyl albums in that collection. So hiding amongst the ABBA and what else did they have? Dubliners, I seem to remember being in there. There were these three classical ones, and they were the greatest hit series, so you can probably date the era I'm talking about when that whole phenomenon first started. And it was Beethoven, Chopin, and Sibelius. And I just remember the Sibelius one in particular. Possibly I was drawn to the album cover, which was this very moody looking water with a strange black swan swimming on it. And of course, that album cover alluded to Sibelius's The Swan of Tuonela, which as about a 7 or 8 year old, I think motivated partially by boredom as well as looking at this record cover, I started playing. And apparently I started playing that particular record on a loop, in particular the Swan, and actually it remains one of the most important pieces of music to me in my life to this day. So without giving you all the boring biographical details, the other accident was that I did a paper round back in the days when 10-year-olds were allowed to do such things. And I got chatting to one gentleman who I used to deliver a paper to every morning, and I can't remember how we got onto the topic, but he found out that I was interested in music, and he told me that back in the day he'd been a professional double bass player and trombonist in dance bands after the Second World War. And if I was ever interested, and I think he probably realised that I wasn't exactly physically built for a double bass, so I ended up borrowing his trombone, and that's how I got into music, and it was that random and accidental. But I think I just knew that something about this stuff was deeply fascinating to me. Also, because I was pretty shy and reclusive, it was something that I could kind of do on my own. I didn't need to involve anyone else in it, which I kind of regret now because I realised it's one of the most sociable things one can actually undertake to do in life. So the thing is that my part of the world when I was growing up was the West Midlands, Wolverhampton, and the music service in those days was, I don't think was terrible by any stretch of the imagination, but it just wasn't an area where there was huge amounts of music being made. And so I, however, went through that system, and despite the probably being the only kid in my school who was really that involved in music at all, I just stuck at it through thick and thin. And long story short is that I ended up getting a place at the Royal Academy of Music to study the trombone back in the early 1990s. So before I went to the Academy in London, I had taken this strange, interesting conducting that had grown through my teenage years one stage further. So when I was 17, I helped organise a charity concert in a church in the village that my parents had recently moved to. Lovely church, actually, fabulous acoustic. I probably didn't appreciate it as much at the time. It was a very strange programme, just of stuff that I started to listen to a lot and love. So it was the overture to The Marriage of Figaro, followed by suites from Bizet's Carmen, and then logically after the interval the Fauré Requiem. So not really a program I put together these days, but I loved the whole business of being in contact with the music, although I still retained a lot of shyness, I seem to remember. So my interest in waving my arms in the air had started before I went to study in London. Basically, during my time when I was studying the trombone at the academy, I kind of made my own opportunities. There was no proper conducting course really to be on. They don't let you study it until postgraduate level anyway. But I would often be asked by brass colleagues if I would conduct for an exam if they were doing something with an ensemble, that sort of thing. I also answered an advert in a music magazine. I think it was BBC Music, actually. Back in the day when you had to type your letters, and it was from an amateur orchestra in Copenhagen who wanted to organise a reciprocal project with British musicians, so they would come to this country and vice versa. And that was actually my first contact with an adult amateur orchestra, so I did organise that trip and I got to go over to Denmark back in. I think it was 1996, and that's weirdly a country that I think I've visited almost every year since. So, don't want this to become This Is Your Life. It's supposed to be about conducting generally. So, I don't know why I was interested in conducting as much as I don't know why I was interested in classical music in the first place, but maybe you don't need a reason in this life. But after I graduated from the academy, I could only afford to do an undergraduate, unfortunately. I couldn't even think about a postgrad in conducting or anything else. So I was thrown out into the big world of freelance, blowing down a piece of pipe for your living. And I managed to scrape a living for about 10 years just playing with a little bit of teaching, but mostly just playing. And that was a combination of orchestral playing, of chamber music. I was in a very, I wasn't the best player in it at all, but a really good brass quintet that's still going to this day. And I also did quite a lot of, you have to do anything and everything if you're a freelance player, unless you're good enough to be in the LSO. So I did musical theatre, both in the West End and out on tours. I also did quite loads of work actually at Shakespeare's Globe Theatre, which involved not only dressing up in all sorts of costumes, but having to learn some different instruments for various productions, which included the recorder, The crumb horn and the car horn. That one's a long story. But during this period that I was playing, I also had this sort of burning desire to sort of develop and continue the conducting, although I didn't really think I would, to be perfectly honest. I thought it was something that would never really happen for me in my life. So I kept on trying to make projects happen, especially with my amazing professional colleagues, ones that I'd studied with or was working with. And I formed a group, which doesn't exist now, but was going for about 10 years, called Sound Collective. And we did all sorts of exciting stuff. We were mainly a sort of 15, 20 piece chamber group, but it was flexible. So we went as big as a 45 piece symphony orchestra for one project, or we would do much smaller things. I remember a really great one was doing The Soldier's Tale, which was part of an educational project, the Stravinsky's brilliant. And that was sort of running alongside my playing, but basically I was playing the trombone. And here's the thing, is that I still remember a lot about playing in orchestra from that period, that I hope I still try and bring to the work that I do now at the other side of the orchestra. Things that I tried to remember, I remember deliberately sitting in some rehearsals thinking, if you ever end up being a conductor, make sure you remember not to do that, or definitely remember to do that. So about 10 years after leaving the academy and being a freelance trombonist, also doing a lot of early music, actually played the sackbut, the Renaissance forerunner of the modern trombone, and loved actually engaging with all of that music. The cookie crumbled. I'd been asked to do some guest conducting work for Trinity Laban Conservatoire, which by then had moved down to Greenwich from central London. And they told me after I just conducted a symphony orchestra concert, they were very disappointed that I hadn't applied for their new conducting fellowship. And that's because I had no idea they'd founded a new conducting fellowship. And so I very hastily put an application in, and 2 weeks later I found myself in front of Sir Charles Mackerras, who'd gifted the post to Trinity Laban, and I became the first ever Sir Charles Mackerras Junior Fellow in Conducting at that institution, and that was in 2006. And I did that position for 2 years, when I was mentored, absolutely not taught, by Sir Charles, because he would spin in his grave if anyone said they had conducting lessons from him, because he said he couldn't teach it. But I was mentored by him, which basically meant going round to his house in North London and talking, and it was absolutely amazing. I'm kind of glad I didn't know as much as I do about him now. When I did the initial audition, I'd have been even more of a nervous wreck. But that was the point where I kind of realised there was a huge crossroads, and an important crossroads, between do I play this instrument or do I not, and devote all my time to conducting. There was also a kind of weirdly, I don't think I can say serendipitous, but certainly coincidental thing, which is that I'd been unfortunately mugged up in Manchester, and long and short of it was that I had some of my dental arrangements made for me, and I was starting to struggle to play the trombone a bit. So the two things happening more or less concurrently, I just made a decision that this was a kind of weird sign, and that I should dedicate myself to conducting full time. So I haven't actually played a brass instrument since 2008, and I'm still really comfortable with that, actually, for various reasons. But just to dedicate oneself to one thing, because conducting is really all encompassing in a way that playing is, and I admire greatly those who seem to be able to play their instrument to the nth degree and also conduct to the nth degree. I know I'm just not that kind of human being who could manage the two. So fast forward to the present day, and basically I spent the last 12 years building up a conducting career, and on top of the conducting work that I do, I've ended up doing some producing for recordings, which is the person who sits in the booth, kind of running the recording session but giving the feedback to the artists. That's only been a relatively recent addition, and I absolutely love it because it's very much the skills of conducting, but you're not actually conducting, so you're just using your ears and your artistic judgment and your time management judgment and your judgment of people. So it is everything about that conducting is, but not actually making physical gestures. And it's interesting when you don't have to do that, you can hear real detail. Sat stock still with a pair of expensive headphones on. So that's an element of what I also do on a certainly on a monthly basis. And then the third and final main thing that happens in my life is that I'm the co-artistic director of the Hertfordshire Festival of Music, which I co-founded with the composer James Francis Brown back in 2016. But that's got nothing to do with conducting, so that's just to say that how I spend my time, most of it is in front of an orchestra or in front of a piano with a score on it, preparing to be in front of the orchestra later that day.